Today, we're going to do a little bit of review. How many of you remember what we spoke about last week? Does anybody? Jennifer? The gift in you? Yeah. Being the gift of God. I encourage you. I said, well, you need to be the gift of God. And remember, we took our text from John, the fourth chapter, where Jesus was working with a Samaritan woman and said, if you knew the gift of God and who's speaking with you, you would ask of me living water. So the gift of God is eternal life, is it not? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternal. So Jesus was telling her, I am the gift of God. I have living water for you. I have eternal life. And so when we were talking about this last week, I encouraged you greatly that being the gift of God, and that's what the Word of God is in each and every one of us, that comes with some great and mighty gifts, one of those being the discerning of spirits. Do you remember talking about that? To be able to discern is to be able to judge properly. Now, sometimes people get a misconstrued idea of what it means to judge. But in John 7 and 24, Jesus says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So we're encouraged of God to judge, but not according to the appearance. A lot of times people will judge by the sight of their eyes, which even the prophecy of Jesus in the book of Isaiah said he will not judge after the sight of his eyes or the hearing of his ears. But he does that which he both sees and hears of his Father. So in order to be the gift of God, discernment is very, very important. To be able to judge things properly. And when I say that, you're judging with the Holy Ghost, with the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. That's how you judge. Jesus did that which he both seen and heard of his Father, and his judgment was true and just. Even though when we're going to read here in a little bit, in John the 8th chapter, they accused Jesus of bearing witness of himself. But as he said, I bear witness of myself and my Father also. So if you have God bearing witness of you, you're doing pretty good. And you don't have to worry about what anybody thinks about you. So as we encouraged you last week to be the gift of God and walk in the anointing of the Lord and bring forth everything God has for you in your life and let your light shine before others, today I'm going to talk to you about something very specific. We're going to go to Luke, the 12th chapter. We're going to discern a spirit for you here today. Jesus himself, when he's with his disciples for 3.5 years, he continually taught his disciples. You see in the scriptures. And one thing that he did often, what we're going to talk about here today, he told his disciples, be you aware of the leaven of the Pharisees. How many of you know what a Pharisee is in the Bible? Carrie, you do? That's what we're going to read. Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites often. Now, is that a judgment? It is. See, we know in Revelation, the 12th chapter, that the devil or Satan, the great dragon, is called the accuser of the brethren. And here's something you got to get straight about accusing. An accusation is only bad if it's false. What I'm saying is if Jesus is accusing the Pharisees of being hypocrites and liars, I mean, he really laid it on the line in John the 8th chapter. That's not an accusation in a bad sense. That's discernment. That's the truth. That's what they were. But interesting enough, in this same chapter, they falsely accused Jesus continually. And it kind of went back and forth here. But we're going to title today's message, Beware of the Pharisee. I'm just going to put it that way. But we'll see that he's actually addressing their doctrine. When he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisee, Julie, it's what they believed. It's what they taught. And here's something very important to understand. A Pharisee was a Pharisee because of the Word of God. Do you realize that? You had different sects of individuals. S-E-C-T-S. Got it? You can call it a clique, you can call it a religion, whatever you want to. But you had the Pharisees, you had the Sadducees, You had chief priests, you had elders, and some called scribes. And many of the times, the ones that I labeled out to you right now, followed Jesus around specifically to accuse him, to tempt him. But what I want to bring out here today, this is actually a spirit that is working within them that could be working, and I'm being very generous here today, that could be working in us also. And it is very, very important for us to be able to discern the Pharisee, to see the doctrine of the leaven of the Pharisees, to understand it, and to overcome it. Why? Why would I say that? You remember what, you're probably thinking there's many reasons. But remember, Jesus said to his disciples specifically, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. So in order to enter into the kingdom of God, our righteousness or the righteousness of God must be imputed to us. Now, they did have a form of righteousness, did they not? I believe it was, and we're going to talk about that, Carrie. She went like this, like their appearance. They, we'll look at the scriptures, but they prayed to be seen of men. Their clothes, they dressed to be seen of men. What else? When they gave alms or paid tithes or gave offerings, however you want to say it, it was to be seen of men. So it really was not about God to them. Although I believe I've already made the statement, it was the word of God that made the Pharisee. How did the word of God make a Pharisee? They believed in the law, didn't they? They believed in the law, but they did not interpret it correctly. Therefore, when they took the word of God and misinterpreted it, they came up with their own teachings. They came up with their own doctrine. And here's the biggest problem with this whole thing. It was prophesied in the book of Isaiah. Jesus spoke it again. He said to the Pharisees, with your lips you do honor me, but your heart is far from me. And Carrie, you answered that question correctly. What the Pharisee is a hypocrite, but what does a hypocrite do? Anybody ever been accused of being a hypocrite? Nail it down a little farther. Has anybody ever been falsely accused of being a hypocrite? If you look back and you look at the individual that accused you, it's very possible, Julie, that they accused you according to their judgment. What I'm saying is the Bible says, judge not, lest ye be judged. For he that judgeth doeth the same things. So they accused Jesus with his own word. They used his word to form not only a religion and a lifestyle, but a doctrine. And that's what we're going to read here real quick. The other thing, when you think of a hypocrite, what do you think about? Tristan.
Somebody that tells you to do something one way, but they don't do it themselves.
There you go. They will lay heavy burdens on you, tell you to do this, this, and this, and then not do it themselves. But how about let's just make it plain. Let's just speak as plain as we can. Is not a hypocrite a fake? It's counterfeit, a mockery, right, Julie? But when you look at Jesus walking with his disciples at times did not discern the hypocrite and their doctrine. It was Jesus that had to do it for them. And many times, many, many times in the Bible, Jesus would say, beware. Beware of this. Beware of the Pharisee. Beware of the Sadducee. Over a dozen times he called the Pharisees and Sadducees hypocrites, Carrie. He's saying to them, what you're acting like is not what you really are. In other words, you're a fake, right? Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't get into this to be a fake. I mean, when it came time over 25 years ago for me to turn my life over to God, I wasn't looking for a religion. And I wasn't looking for just a feel-good. I needed to change. I needed to be somebody different. I really needed to find God and allow God to find me and reveal to me how he sees me. Because I got to a place where I really didn't like myself a whole lot. You know, I wanted to be nicer. I wanted to be kinder. wanted to do good things and not the things that I was doing. And then the other part of that was is I hadn't really experienced peace in my life. I experienced, what do you want to say, short periods of drunkenness. No, you know, little reliefs is what I want to say, but not real peace. Not the thing that comes to you, gets a hold of you, keeps you, and stays with you the rest of your life. You know, it's, the scripture says it's a peace of God that passes understanding. You begin to experience the peace of God and God come into your life and change you like he did me. First of all, you don't look back. You always look forward. And you become one very, very thankful individual. I want to tell you something right now. I've made this statement before, but on this physical earth, what is the most precious commodity that we have? Water? Your life? It's oxygen, isn't it? How long can you go without food? I've seen people do 40 days, as long as they had water. How long could you go without water? 3 days, 4 days, start getting dehydrated and die? How long can you hold your breath? You know what the interesting part about that is? It's free. You know? I mean, we pay for the water, we pay for the food, but the oxygen is pretty much free, isn't it? If you could bottle the peace of God, if you could take the peace that God has given to me and that many of you have experienced also, and you could bottle it outside of oxygen, it would be the absolute most precious commodity on this planet. And for some people, if you get in a certain place, you don't even want to breathe. You just need some peace. You know what I mean? So one thing about a Pharisee, even though they look like they serve God and they love God, instead of having peace in their heart, Julie, it's filled with hatred. And they will make you think that they're of God, that they love God, but there's no peace there whatsoever. Just full of strife and contention. They followed Jesus everywhere he went to contend with him, to accuse him, to catch him in his speech, that they might condemn him. Now, I'm going to teach this how God revealed it to me. So I'm going to show you how God revealed it to me physically, in the Word, and then in, by discerning of spirits. So we're going to eventually take all of this inward. Well, here's what you want to be very careful about. Don't look around and judge somebody else and say, oh, he's talking about her, or he's talking about him. This is not for me today, these things, because that could very well be that spirit of that Pharisee working in you while we do these things. Now, Luke, the 12th chapter. I'm going to begin reading in the first verse. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all. Now notice, get this picture. Jesus is getting ready to address a very, very large multitude of people. And his disciples are there amongst them. But this is not just a little gathering. He's not just whispering in somebody's ear. This says there was so many innumerable, let me try to say that word again, innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another. He began to say unto his disciples, first of all. So he's teaching his disciples his doctrine. And in his doctrine, he's warning of a false doctrine. Catch that? He said, beware you of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, just like Carrie said. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. So Jesus is saying plainly that this leaven of the Pharisees is spoken in darkness, but it's revealed by the light. How many of you here today, if you had this thought or spirit of a Pharisee working in you, would want that to be revealed? I would. I don't want to have something hid that would keep me out of the kingdom of God. Jesus told the Pharisees at one point, you can pass land and sea to convert one soul, I'm paraphrasing, to make one proselyte, a disciple of your own. And he said, and when you do convert that individual, you make that individual a twofold more child of hell than yourselves. So he's telling them, you already are a child of hell. Now, that sounds rough, doesn't it? But let's use the discerning of spirits here. If we have a thought that could work in us that's of hell or would cause more thoughts in us to become a twofold child of hell, Daryl, do we not want that revealed? Do we not want to bring that darkness to light and allow God to catch this thing so we could be the gift of God like we talked about last week? And I had mentioned already that the disciples didn't always catch it. They didn't always catch what the Pharisees did. Do you know why? Because of how they looked and because of what they said. They were always in the synagogue on the Sabbath. They prayed on the corners. They wore certain garments. They dressed, you know, appropriately. I remember when I first came to church, one of my friends in Chicago, I was living in Chicago, said that you should never, ever go to church without a suit and a tie on. Well, here I am. And his reasoning was, he says, God deserves the best. So you should spend a lot of money on your suit, a lot of money on your shoes, and when you come to church, you should bring your best, Daryl. Sounds reasonable. That's why I wore suits for so many years, because I was young. And I listened to people that didn't really know what they were talking about, but because they had been in church all their life, I thought they knew what they were talking about, right? Tell me some more ways that the Pharisees carried themselves or what they did.
They disfigured their face.
They disfigured their face to be seen of men as they were fasting. So wait a minute, Walker, let's get this down. Carrie, they prayed. They paid tithes. Remember the parable where the Pharisee come up, said, I fast twice a week? You can find that for me. We'll tell him where it's at, Walker. What else did he say? I pay my tithes, I fast twice a week, and I thank God I'm not like this publican, right? Like this sinner. So he judged himself as not being a sinner, but the one that would not so much even lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote his bosom and said, Lord, have mercy on me. He was judging him as being wrong. Amazing, isn't it? Somebody had their hand up. Daryl?
I've been thinking about this very thought for some time. That you're speaking of here right now. And wasn't it the will of God for all Israel to be under this thought, under this rule, this authority until the time appointed of the Father, until the Son is revealed within us to become free from that thought, to discern that thought? It wasn't the will of God for everyone to be under that thought?
Yes. And the reason I'm glad you brought that out right now is, like I said, what made the Pharisee a Pharisee? The Word of God. They took the Word of God and said, everything we're doing is of God. They even told Jesus, we'll read it in John 8, God's our Father. We only have one Father. It's God. There were groups, like I said, called Pharisees and Sadducees, right? But those were just individuals. There was something working in those individuals much greater. So God used that, Daryl. He used those images to teach not only his disciples, which became the apostles, but even for us here today. And in John 8 and 44, Jesus told his disciples what spirit that was. How many of you remember? You remember the spirit? He said, you are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. Let me see if I might even have that here. We'll read it verbatim. I got it here, Walker. He said, you are of your father the devil, And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Now, real quick. I understand if you take an individual's life here, that's what a murderer is. But do you know in the Bible, in 1 John, it says if any man hate his brother, the same as a murderer. So you don't have to physically commit the act where they condemn you to prison for the rest of your life to be a murderer in the eyes of God. All you have to do is hate your brother. Did the Pharisees hate Jesus? Were they both Israelites? So were they brethren? And they hated him. I mean, everywhere they went, especially when it came time to condemn Jesus to death and put him on Calvary, put him on the cross, who were the ones screaming him out, crucify him, crucify, crucify? Israel, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests, the elders. Such hatred, Walker. I've been in the spirit and experienced the hatred they had for Jesus. And when the Bible talks about the gnashing of teeth, could you imagine being so angry that you just grind your teeth? And that's how it was. They gnashed on him with their teeth. The hatred was so intense. And interesting enough, on the cross, what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's peace. That's amazing. That's the love of God, Daryl. And I'm not even going to get into the logistics of what took place there. I think saying that's enough. But in John 8 and 44, he said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So this spirit is called the devil. Do you know what the word devil translated from the Hebrew and Greek into English? Do you know what the word devil means? It's a traducer. It's a seducer. It's a slanderer or a false accuser. And again, we know that in the book of Revelation, where the great red dragon is called the devil and Satan, he is also revealed as the accuser of the brethren. Real quick, if that spirit, Daryl, was working in the Pharisees, was it working all the way back in the beginning, even when Cain murdered his brother Abel? So you have, that's almost the beginning. We know that Adam and Eve had a conversation with the serpent, which is the devil and Satan. And really in that, the serpent accused God. Can you discern how that happened? You shall not surely die. In other words, your God lied to you. I'm telling you the truth. Quick note, interesting enough. One word, Carrie, we've said this many times, one word added to the truth made it a lie, didn't it? God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day thou eatest of, thou shalt surely die. And the serpent comes by and says, what did God say? Serpent wants to have a conversation with God's people. What did God say? God said not to touch the tree, not to eat of it, lest we die. You remember what the serpent said back? Here's where his doctrine began. You shall not surely die. Three letters, N-O-T, added to the truth, turned it into a lie. She believed it, ate of the tree, transgressed against God, takes it to her husband. He eats of the tree, and the Bible says, by one man's disobedience, sin entered the world. But glory, hallelujah, it also says, by one man's obedience shall many be made righteous. That's the obedience of Jesus Christ that trumps all of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees of this spirit, the devil. Does that make sense to you, Daryl? Everybody has to be able to discern it. And if you think it's just working in somebody else and it's never been revealed to you, you might want to pray a little bit. You might want to seek God on that one, because if it hasn't been revealed, then that means it's still hid. You with me? Okay, so let me give you a little history. Almost 25 years ago, I began to answer the call of God in my life. Jesus said, no man could come unto me except my Father draw him, right? And so God began to draw me, and I went to a little church out here in Farmersville. You guys know where Farmersville is, right? It's what they call a Jesus name church, Pentecostal church. My pastor was L.C. Quinn. He just recently passed away. Let God bless him. My very first pastor I submitted myself to taught me a lot of things, and I'm very appreciative for him. But I'll never forget, Daryl, I was talking to him after a teaching, after a preaching. He was just sharing some things with me, and I was young. I really didn't even know what a Pharisee was. But he said one of his mentors, or somebody that had counseled him, was talking to him about the Pharisees and said, we may not have to go outside of our ranks to find a Pharisee. And I start looking in the Bible, and I'm looking at what a Pharisee is, and I'm seeing that they made broad the phylacteries of their garments, and I'm looking around, and even though, bless his heart, Pastor Quinn did not enforce a dress code. Has anybody ever been to a church where they enforce a dress code? Most of the time, well, there's different names, but UPC, United Pentecostal Church, tells the women what clothes to wear, how long to wear their hair, or just don't cut it, I should say. The men have to dress a certain way. And listen, they use the word of God to justify all of it. How? In the book of Deuteronomy, it says that a woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. So, Ralph, the women have to wear skirts all the way down to the ground, and they can't wear pants. That's what pertains to a man. Do you see how they're using the word of God? She can't cut her hair. Why? Because of Paul's teaching of 1 Corinthians 11 that says she has glory in her head because of the angels. So she should not cut her hair. And I'm just giving you a few examples of these things, but I'm listening to this pastor, my friend, and I'm looking around, and a lot of people, specifically his family, dressed a certain way, wore their hair a certain way. Daryl, how many times, how many services did we pray for over an hour to 2 hours before a service, and I would get this migraine headache because we sat there and screamed and yelled, and later I realized I was doing all of it, Brandon, to be seen of men. And I'm going, wow, he may have something here about this Pharisee. He said, we really don't have to go outside of our ranks to discover what a Pharisee is. And so I began to look at the doctrine and the teaching. And don't get me wrong, my pastor taught me some good things, and I'm very appreciative. But we're talking about a spirit here that teaches you things that are not in the Word of God or of the Word of God, but uses the Word of God to do it, Daryl. Now, I don't know about you, but many churches that I've gone to in the past basically believe if you don't go to their church, you're not saved. God forbid we ever think that way. God forbid we ever put God in a little teeny tiny box like that and say we're the only ones that can be saved, or we're the only ones that have the truth. If you think that way, that thought of hypocrisy is already working there. Okay? Let God be God, much bigger than what we think. Now, I was looking at what my pastor said there. He said, we may not have to go outside of our rankings to discover the Pharisee. And that really caught my ear, Robin. I'm like, so I start to look in the Bible at what the Pharisee is and how they prayed, they paid tithes, they fasted, they dressed a certain way, just like the guy told me you should dress a certain way when you go to church. Now, even the disciples themselves, I told you, didn't always discern the Pharisee. There was a time when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, know you not that the Pharisees were offended at your sayings. You remember that? Jesus was teaching by parables. And they were concerned that he had offended the Pharisees. Do you remember what Jesus said to his disciples? Leave them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, then both shall fall into the ditch. So When you discern this spirit that's working in you, what should you do with it? Leave it alone. But you have to be able to discern it first. You have to be able to see that. How many of you have ever been offended at the Word of God? Some of you are offended here today at what I'm saying. I'd apologize, but it's like Ralph's always said, if you're offended, then you need to be, because that needs to come out. That needs to be revealed, correct? So Jesus said, leave them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. So most of the time, when these Pharisees and Sadducees were there to accuse Jesus, what did he do, Carrie? He didn't contend with them. He didn't strive with them. He taught his disciples. So the Word of God that's in you, do you realize that it's the Word of God in you that makes you a disciple? And there's 12 words called 12 disciples in you that need to learn what I'm teaching you here today, that need to be able to perceive that it's the spirit of the devil, which is a slanderer, a murderer, Daryl, that's working in you, that maybe the Word of God in you hasn't quite discerned yet, but needs to. And then once it does, what do you do with it? Leave it alone. Sharon, did you have something you want to say a while ago?
When you were talking about the Pharisees, I was thinking of Proverbs 6. These six things are abominations.
The abominations of Proverbs 6, yeah.
Yeah, and I was just wondering if they correlated with the Pharisee.
Absolutely. They absolutely do. The Pharisees, they work the abominations continually. False accusation, they bear false witness. They do tie in together like that, Sharon. And a person would have to discern what those seven abominations are to be able to overcome that. Anybody else? Good? Almost finished here. Give me just a few more minutes. Go with me to John the 8th chapter where we're reading verse 44. Notice when he was speaking to the Pharisees, he said, your father is the devil, he's a liar. But he said to him, he's the father of it. Well, they thought their father was God, didn't they? Even in this chapter talking with Jesus. But Jesus was the one that discerned it and said, no, actually, you have another father. Our fathers aren't the same fathers. He's revealing this, right? Now go with me to the sixth verse in this chapter. We're just going to walk down a couple things. Now, in the beginning of this chapter, they had brought a woman to Jesus that they said they had caught in the very act of adultery, right? And in the law, if somebody committed adultery, what were they going to do to her? Well, what was supposed to happen?
Stone them.
Okay. Now, before you condemn anybody else, do you guys know what adultery is? We know physically what it is. What is adultery in the spirit? Serving another God. Anybody guilty of that? So we want to be careful how we judge anything, correct? See, fornication, adultery, these things. There's a difference between what we call those things here and spiritually. We're not going to get into all of that today. I just want to make a quick note of that. So they said they caught her in the very act of adultery. In verse 6, this said they tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, and he wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Now, notice here, they brought her very specifically to tempt him, correct? That they might be able to accuse. There are some of us here today, now listen to me closely, you may not be wearing your dresses down to the ground. And you may not be not cutting your hair like some of the things I described to you that take place in the United Pentecostal Church. You may not be doing all those things. But inside your heart, is it possible that there's thoughts that's condemning the Word of God in you? Listen, there are many of you here today that need to get closer to me and the elders. There are many of you that your thoughts are condemning you and lying to you and accusing the Word of God, and you think because you look good on the outside, I don't know. I'm going to tell you something. We do know. And there's time for hiding's over. You don't need to hide anymore. It's not you in these thoughts. It is a spirit. It is a slanderer. It is a false accuser. And it is time. It is high time for us to get this spirit in counsel and let God reveal it to you. And we're going to leave it alone after that, Daryl. Let it be revealed. Have no power. But do you understand what I'm saying? Just because we can come in here with the right clothes on, just because we can come in here with a nice smile on our face and we look good and everything, please don't think for a second that your heart's not being discerned by the Word of God. Daryl?
That spirit is so well hidden, you have no idea that it's even there.
But we are helping to reveal that right here and right now. You know, if you, I don't have enough time. Maybe we'll start this back up next week. We'll see where it goes. But in John, the 8th chapter, Jesus says very specifically, which of you, he's talking about the Pharisees. So there's a spirit that's working in these Pharisees. That's their father, the devil. And he says, which of you convinceth me of sin? There are individuals in this room that are continually being convinced of sin. I just want to know, are you tired of fighting it yourself? Are you ready for some help? Are you ready to begin to come to God and be able to counsel and stop allowing this spirit to cause you to hide just because you think I don't see it or somebody else doesn't see it, one of the elders doesn't see it? You know who was one of the greatest convincers of sin in the Bible? He was also the greatest apostle. I want to encourage you here before we go. When Paul was on the road to Damascus, he had papers. You know what those papers from the magistrates were for? To kill. Do you know why you could kill under Jewish law? One reason only. Sin. Sin. So he was saying, these people that are calling themselves Christians, Julie, I can convince you that they're not. And he did, didn't he? Until one day. One day he's on his way to Damascus and a light shines from heaven above the noonday and it converted that accuser of the brethren. It converted the one that was convincing the magistrates and the higher powers that these Christians were actually sinners, Julie. Do you remember? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What does Paul say? Simple. Who art thou, Lord? He said, it is I, Jesus. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And this is just how easy it is. This is how easy it was for Saul. This is how easy it can be for each and every one of us that God's after this spirit of the devil that's working pharisaical hypocrisies in our life. Who art thou, Lord? It is I, Jesus. What wilt thou have me to do? He didn't try to fix everything he'd done wrong. What did he do? He repented and he went forward. Can we do that here today? Can we discern this spirit? Can we see where this spirit of the devil has lied to us and caused us to even work hypocrisy with inside of ourselves? That's why I say, before you go pointing a finger out here and everywhere else, please take the Word of God inward and look at yourself. Let God discern your thoughts. And I know there's many of you here today that are hurting and have been living in a lie. And you think, I don't see it. But God sees everything. So take advantage of it. Get the help you need. Pick up that phone. Make an appointment. And let's get this thing. You know, in the book of Revelation, when this accuser of the brethren was cast down, you can go read it, Revelation 12. You know what the Bible says? Now has come salvation. Now has come strength, Ralph. Now has come the power of our God and his kingdom. How many wants to inherit the kingdom of God? How many want to walk in the power of God? Then let's discern this spirit that's in a Pharisee and get it. Not have to walk by anymore. Make a simple conversion from Saul to Paul. and allow that light to shine from heaven and simply make the statement, Walker, what wilt thou have me to do? And you do know that that same convincer of sin, Saul, become, in my opinion, the greatest apostle ever. Preached like a madman, Julie, like a man on fire. Any questions before we go here today? You do know if God reveals these things, it's because he loves you. You do know that the reason God searches your heart and would show you these things like this is because he loves you, correct? God chastens the son that he loves. If you receive chastisement, God deals with you as a son. Amen? Jennifer, and we'll close after you.
I just wanted to say, while you were talking, I was thinking about Peter. And, you know, you just talked about Paul and how when that light came to him, he was converted. But then he went on to do the same thing for Peter, right? We've talked about how he's the one who addressed that spirit, that same spirit that was working in Peter. Yes. And then the disciples all went on to change that entire world. So really, all it takes is that one discernment, and then that thought can spread. That thought will go and change all of those other thoughts that once that spirit has been discerned.
That's where the gift of God works, Jennifer. When the gift of God works, everything changes. And the biggest part of, one of the biggest parts of the, being the gift of God is working in a discerning of spirits. Very good, Jennifer. Anybody else? No? We're all good. Well, God bless you. I hope to see all of you very soon. Thank you, folks, for coming and being with us. We hope you come back. Okay, God bless you guys.